Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey. Over a decade ago, attorney Michael Bailey turned his attention to estate law after he recognized the unacceptable number of adults without proper end-of-life planning. Michael recognizes that many of his clients have difficulty finding the time for making a proper estate plan. That's why he became the Mobile Estate Planner. He will go to wherever you are to assist you with your estate planning, including writing wills, trusts, and giving you the information you need to avoid probate. Now, ATX, Ask the Experts, presents Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey, so we can do something besides just leave you alone. Listening to 560 KLZ, also heard on 100.7 FM, 95.3 FM, 1220 AM, 560thesource.com, and the TuneIn app. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600. Once again, that's 303-477-5600. And my direct number is 720-394-6887. And again, my direct number, the one that comes right to me, is 720-394-6887. If you try to call that number over the next half an hour, I'm probably not going to answer because I'm here. But the 303-477-5600 number, totally can call that. I may not answer it directly, but Dave, my producer extraordinaire, you know, he could handle that and, you know, patch you through and such things. So I've noticed this week things that just from, you know, client things and stuff that is going on, that it's time to revisit the concept of how you and your estate planning attorney can work together. Because sometimes, and it happens every once in a while, but not all the time, you get a client or an attorney who thinks one thing and the other party doesn't think the same thing. I was actually talking to, I was at the Denver Home and Garden Show a month or so ago, and there were some financial planners that were there, which, you know, I thought was an interesting thing to have at a Denver Home and Garden Show. But I went and I met some of them, and one of them called me this week. And the person that called me this week said, oh, well, you know, I have an attorney that I use that does stuff. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's part of why I didn't really, he said, oh, you know, I have a, you know, people, you know, when I work with financial planners, they say, oh, well, we've got financial, you know, the financial planner is, you know, some financial planners grasp that as estate planning attorneys, I get a decent amount of referrals from financial planners. And so I can't just take and, you know, poach those financial planning attorneys and send them off to another one, to a different financial planner. That doesn't work very well. And so, you know, I sometimes, if they're like, oh, I work with an attorney, but, you know, if you would refer to me exclusively, then I'd work with you. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's quite how it's not really possible for me, because it always seems like people get upset about that. And so this was one of those people that was looking for that. But then they called me and they said, oh, well, you know, my attorney that I work with, they charge more than what I normally do. But they do everything for people. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So if you set up a trust and then you take on the work of funding the trust and you take on the work of, you know, everything that's involved there, I can see why the price that they had was going to be, you know, what it was. But the person who, they had a client who just needed a simple will. And so it was just a simple will, and that's all they needed. They didn't need all the other support that was going to go on with the, with everything. So he says to me, well, how much would you charge for a simple will? I said, well, my basic will packages start at $500. So if you really are somebody who just needs basic work, and there's plenty of people who just need basic work, but if you are a person who just needs basic work, and, you know, so you need a will and a living will and a financial power of attorney and a medical power of attorney, then that's going to be able to get you a, you know, a $500 package. He said, okay, well, that's good. So he said, I'll give you your name and, you know, maybe they'll call you. I'm like, okay, that'd be great if they do call. And so it was interesting, though, that I think this lady who, I mean, it was a difference between I charge $500 for a simple will. They charge, according to this financial planner, the other attorney charged $4,500 to do an estate plan. And that was pretty much any estate plan that was their charge was $4,500. I'm like, okay, for $4,500, I would be willing to take upon myself writing a trust and then funding a trust and everything else. You know, my trusts usually run in the $1,500 to $2,500 range. And I think part of that is because I say, okay, I do that, and then I will give you instructions on how you can go about funding the trust and getting, and funding the trust, of course, means getting assets out of your name and into the name of the trust, because that's an important part. I have a group of solo estate planning attorneys that I belong to. We're just kind of an informal group. We, you know, send emails when we have questions that we're not sure of the answer to, or we'll help support each other in various things. Or if one of us is conflicted off for some reason, we'll pick up, you know, each other's work. And they're also the ones that if I were to someday, if you were to tune in expecting to listen to my mobile planning, estate planning with Michael Bailey, and they told you, well, Michael's family is implementing his estate plan now, so he won't be coming back. Then these are the folks who would take over my practice. And, you know, that would be Dave that has to say that. He had to make sure that we knew that. You know, we'll give you credit, Dave. You're awesome. We love you. You know, good work. If you can hear me, it's because Dave's doing his job properly. If you can't hear me, we're all hosed. Is that correct, Dave? Yeah, I got a nod.
That's right. I was going to say maybe you can put the show in your will for me. I could just take over.
You could take over. See, the problem with that, Dave, is, and I know I've educated you quite well, and
I don't know anything about estate planning.
No, you don't have the right letters behind your name to be able to talk to people. You know, I mean, it's one of those, you can write your own will if you want to, but to write it for somebody else, you have to be licensed as an attorney. And so since you don't have the right letters, and, you know, my letters are JD, which of course stands for just dumb. You've got MS, or you've got BS, which is what it is.
That's what I am.
MS for more of the same. PhD for piled higher and deeper. JD for just dumb. Or as my friend who I went to law school with, and he got his MBA from DU before he went to law school, he said, you can't spell dumb donkey. And yes, that's not the word. I don't think I can say the other one. You can't spell dumb donkey without DU MBA. So, and that's nothing to disparage those who have their MBA from DU. But that was his opinion of the DU MBA program and how well it advanced his career. I'm like, okay, well, fair enough. I mean, I'm sure there are very many fine people, and I don't really want to go get an MBA from DU or anywhere else. So, you know, I'll believe what they have to say. But, you know, so you have to have the right letters to be there. And so funding the trust is to get assets into the trust. And my friend who, she said she had an out-of-state colleague who wrote her and said, okay, well, you know, my client who died 3 years ago has a piece of property in Pueblo, and it never got put in the trust, so how do we get it in there? And all of us are like, unless there's a beneficiary's deed or some deed that we know about, you're going to have to go through the probate process to get that real estate out of the guy's name and into the name of the trust. And we, you know, like, there's six of us, and we all pretty much agreed on that. And so, you know, this, so we're like, well, you probably got to tell them you got to do probate. And she's like, ah, man, I was hoping we could avoid that somehow. I'm like, yeah, we all were, but I don't think that's the way that the world's going to work. So, you know, that might be a thing of, you know, that was an unfunded trust and an unmet expectation. And probably because of that, there's going to be some less than happy folks out there who now need to pay for more legal services because they didn't do do a deed to properly transfer real estate from themselves into the trust. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, also heard on 100.7 FM, 95.3 FM, 1220 AM, 560thesource.com, and the TuneIn app. Or if you happen to walk by the 11th floor here, the 12th floor here, and you can fly, congratulations, you're going to be much richer than I am. And also, but you can listen in outside the window. I don't care. Works for me. Phone number to talk to us on the air, if you don't want to try and talk through the window, is 303-477-5600. Once again, that's 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. And again, Phone number is 720-394-6887. That's my direct line that you can reach me directly if you want to talk about your things or whatever your concerns are. So funding the trust, it's one of those big things where, it's one of those, we always talk about it and kind of laugh about the silliness of an unfunded trust in the estate tax world. And lots of times people like to, the first thing that people are going to do is they're going to blame the attorney. Well, you should have funded it. You should have taken care of this. Why didn't you do your job? And usually this is the, it's the heirs or the beneficiaries who are mad that they might have to do extra work. I actually had this happen this past November. A trust that I'd written a year and a half prior to that. The guy had passed away. And so his heirs were like, well, what are we supposed to do? And how are we supposed to do this? And what are we, and we went back and looked at it and talked to him and ended up that he had not, I'd given him instructions. I told him what he needed to do. I had circled everything and put stars by things and said, okay, go ahead and do this. And because he said he wanted to do it himself. I said, okay, you are totally capable of doing that. You're able to do whatever you need to do for funding the trust yourself. You don't have to involve me because I've given you instructions on how to do it. And so, for probably 11, 12 months, I hadn't heard anything. And I assumed that he had gone ahead and done what I told him to do. Well, when he died, he had not. And so his family, his kids and his nieces and nephews were very, very upset. And so we sat down and we talked about what I told them what they would need to do to get things put into the trust and, take care of things. And they're like, okay, well, and one of them says, well, how come you didn't do this for him? Weren't you supposed to? How come you didn't do your job? I said, okay, thank you very much. I appreciate your being angry at me, but your father and or uncle, depending on which one you were, had said that he wanted to do it himself. They're like, well, he wouldn't have done that. And I said, really? Because I have here where I'd given him the instructions, and he said, I will go ahead and take care of it myself because he didn't want to pay the extra couple thousand dollars for me to handle it. And they were still very upset with me that I hadn't done it. And then we got into a nice discussion about how, as attorneys, we advise, but clients decide. And so I allow my clients to make their own decisions. I don't necessarily allow them. I just understand that they're going to be, sounds a little bit overly arrogant, and I can be overly arrogant, but the turn of the phrase wasn't quite right. I understand that clients get to make their own decisions. I try to advise them and guide them in the correct direction so that they will make a good decision and one that can be carried out properly. So that's what we did. But because of that, we had, the children and the nieces and nephews were quite upset. And it became a thing where I did not have a legal duty to the children and the niece and the nephew to have funded the trust. I had a legal duty to my client to do what was legally required and legally permissible for my client, who was the deceased individual. I was willing to help them as long as we could be civil to each other. But when one of them decided to become very upset and storm out of the room, I said, well, I guess they're not going to be happy with any outcome. And we all laughed, and I continued to explain what they needed to do, and then I let them go do it. But that unmet expectation came from somebody who had incorrect or unrealistic expectations of what I would or would not do. And sometimes that happens. I had a client several years ago, and I set up a trust for him. I set up a trust for his mom. His mom was like 87, and he was in his early 60s. So, it made sense for what their situation. And he assured me that he would put everything into the trust that we set up for both of them. I said, okay, that sounds great. And then 3 months later, I got a call from his daughter that he had died. Apparently, he had developed stomach cancer, which he was sure that he was going to beat, but he did not. But he was unable to get, during the time that he had, he did not get his assets into the trust. And so his daughter called me and said, oh, well, what can we do? And I said, well, here's the steps that you need to take to get assets in there. And she said, man, I really wish my dad had just finished this. I said, I wish that too, because it would make your life easier. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but darn it, if only he'd, had You know, if we'd finished it 2 months before he got diagnosed with stomach cancer, maybe he would have gotten it done. And she laughed. And, you know, because we're not trying to speak ill of the dead. We're not trying to say bad things about what the deceased should or shouldn't have done. But it was just something that we had, that a situation that was there that came up. And we're like, well, we can't quite finish this. We can't get it done for you until such time as it works the way that it is. And I get a lot of people who, I mean, I even had a client who called me yesterday, like, okay, well, you know, my mom's in the ICU. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And we don't know if she's going to last more than 2 or 3 days. I'm really sorry to hear that. Well, dad has power of attorney and I'm not listed on there. And so I'm really mad about it. And I need to file an emergency petition to get him removed and so that I can handle things. And I didn't ask a lot about whether it was a stepdad or things like that, because I don't handle emergency cases like that. And I certainly don't do the emergency litigation on things like that. So I told her, you know what, I don't think I'm right, the right one to handle this. She says, okay, thanks, bye, and hung up. I'm like, okay, the rest of my sentence was going to be, but I can refer you to somebody if you'd like. But, you know, those type of things where we're in the last minute, you know, last minute situations, I'm like, okay, I've handled plenty of last minute situations, and last minute situations can be less than fun from my perspective, because I don't want to have a last minute type of situation that shows up and create problems, but I'm willing to help in last minute situations. But I do get people who call me and they'll say, oh, well, I just have a quick question. Okay. Well, my dad, who was born in this state, and, you know, they launch into a 10, 15 minute story, and it's going to be a super complex issue. And they're like, okay, so what should I do? I'm like, you should contact an attorney who handles probate administration and who can help you with that. Well, can't you just answer my question? Not really. And yeah, sometimes there is an easy question. Oh, you know, so my mom died and I think that the personal representative isn't, you know, they're going to just hose us. So what should I do? Seek counsel to represent you. Well, you know, how can I just stop them? Well, that's not what I do. And I'm not going to give that legal advice, especially without, you know, having to charge for it. Well, I don't understand why you won't just answer a question. You know, I called you and I'm like, oh, okay, here we are. And that this one just makes me laugh. I'm like, so you called me and I answered the phone. So the knowledge that I have acquired over the past 12 years, 12 and a half years of practicing law and the 3 years in law school, I should just give to you because you called me. That, to me, that doesn't seem like the fairest of trades. Since I get paid to answer questions, and I get paid to, you know, make sure that the answers to my questions are based in the law and work for you, that might not be quite what I'm so excited to do. And I almost wonder if a lot of this goes back to, like, elementary school, where they're like, you know, there's no such thing as a stupid question. You know, just ask a question and you can get the answer. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I have one situation where I disagree. A stupid question is one that you've asked, you received the answer, and then you ask it again immediately afterwards because you either didn't listen to the answer, or you didn't like the answer and you're hoping it will change, or you just didn't understand the answer. If you say, okay, hey, I didn't understand that, can you try again? Sure, I'm happy to do that. This is us working together trying to understand it, because sometimes I explain things one direction and it doesn't work, so I explain another direction. I actually signed a trust with a client today who we had spent 2 hours trying to figure it out, and for whatever reason, I was failing miserably to get through to them. So I drew them a little diagram picture with boxes and triangles and stick figures. And suddenly it made sense. And I'm like, okay, cool. We got there. Good for us. Because the way that I explain things may not always be the way that you understand things. And, you know, if it takes us a couple of tries to get there, hey, so be it. That's fine. We're working together to get it done. So you are listening to Mogul with Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source. Also heard on 100.7 FM, 1220 AM, 95.3 FM, 560thesource.com, the TuneIn app, or if you go onto my blog and look up the April 3rd, 2019 show, once I get it posted, then you can listen to it. That's just not in real time. It doesn't work so well. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. And again, those phone numbers, my direct number, 720 394-6887. And the studio line is 303-477-5600. I actually have a slightly funny story about the studio line and unmet expectations. I was driving home from my radio show, and I had almost reached home, and I got a call. And someone's like, oh, you know, I just need to talk to John Rush about this. And I'm like, okay, this is Michael Bailey. This is my direct line. He's like, she says, no, they just said it on their air. This is John Rush's direct line. I'm like, okay. I think what happened here was that John had just done a radio commercial for me, because John does a commercial for me during his show, and given my number. And then when they came back, they said the number to call to talk on the air is the studio number. So she picked up the wrong one. I said, okay, so here's the number. It's 303-477-5600. You can call John. She's like, okay, well, I'll try that. So I was listening to the show, to John's show on the way home, and lo and behold, 2 minutes later, there she is talking on the, oh, I tried calling, but I think I called the wrong number. And I called Michael Bailey, and John's like, oh, was Michael nice to you? Well, yeah. Okay, cool. I'm like, ha, look at that. I did something good. You know, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes I screw things up, or sometimes it just doesn't work out the way that I want it to. But I have a client who, a couple of years back, I wrote a trust for somebody, and now they're going to sell the house. And she wanted to know what she needed to do and what the timing was of changing the address on the trust when they bought a new house. And that she wanted to know, you know, what it would take to do to change the address, and you know, how much would I charge to change the dollar amount from, you know, how much would it change? How much would it cost to change the dollar amount? The address or the, on the quick claim deed from their names personally into the trust. And so I actually talked to them about how we wanted to get, you know, that I referred them back to the trust funding letter, talked about how to do that. And I said, hey, you know, I don't actually represent you in the administration of the trust, and I don't represent you in this real estate transaction, so what I can tell you is going to be kind of limited. She says, okay, well, you know, just answer this question, answer this question. I said, well, that would be representing you in administering the trust and representing you in the real estate transaction. She says, well, I don't understand why you're being so difficult. And I, you know, this is via email. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's always a fun one to be told that I'm being difficult. And I'm like, well, you know, I can be pretty difficult. I understand that. I'm just telling you that I don't represent you for that, and unless I have to charge you, you know, because apparently she wanted something for free, because once upon a time we had done business together, so apparently I always needed to continue to do business and handle all of those questions. Well, that's not quite how it works. And sometimes, and I get it, people who are, you know, have questions about what I wrote, they want me to answer them, and for the most part I'll answer them. But you know, when you say, oh, why are you being so difficult? I'm like, I'm really not. And I believe that my response to this particular individual was, I'm really not, but thank you for making it easy for me to write the next sentence. I no longer represent you in any estate, any capacity at all. Please do not contact me again. Because I'm like, if you get, we're working together. We're trying to work towards this. Now, sure, if I have screwed something up, or if I'd made a mistake and we're trying to fix it, great, I'll jump right in, I'll fix it, we'll move on. But, you know, and I actually have a friend who wrote me an email at like 7:30 last night. Oh, well, you know, if I send you the information, can you have this done by 2 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow? No. I had time this afternoon, in the late afternoon, which I told you 2 days prior to now, that would have allowed me to get done what you need done. But if you send it to me tomorrow morning, about the only time I have to work on it is from like 1 to 1:45 in between other appointments. And he's like, oh, well, can I call you in the morning? I said, sure. So, you know, call me between 8:30 and 10 or between 11 and 12 and we'll talk. I didn't get a call. So I don't think I'm going to be able to get anything done for him by this evening, since it's, 2:55 now. And I have, you know, I just... Yeah, I'm doing this, and then I have to be off to another appointment at 4, and it's just how life works, you know. I mean, I would like to say that I am capable of doing absolutely everything at the exact moment that you ask for it, and that it doesn't actually take me time to do anything, and that I need to, and those type of things. But unfortunately, that's not how life works. And, you know, I have people who, I mean, my clients earlier today were like, yeah, you know, trying to get in your schedule, it's very difficult because you're so busy. And I'm like, well, that's a good thing for me that I'm out there helping people. Also, if I don't do work, I don't get paid. So yeah, there is that incentive that I would like to do work, so I do get paid. But as I'm, it was probably 3 weeks ago, I had somebody who called me and they're like, oh, well, my dad's in the hospital and I understand that you'll come by. So could you come by this afternoon and do a will? And I said, no, I really can't. My day's booked. Well, can't somebody else from your firm? There's nobody else in my firm. It's just me. I'm the only attorney. Well, then how is that helpful for me? I said, I don't know that it is particularly. Unfortunately, I used to umpire high school baseball, and I got assigned on two fields. So one high school that was 20 minutes away from the other high school, I got assigned to the two high schools on the same day at the exact same time. So I called the assigner and I said, okay, I would love to be able to work both games for you, but I fear that I'm only going to be able to get half the calls right, and it's only going to be on one field, and I'm not going to be able to make both games. And so the assigner looked and said, oh, yep, yeah, I can't have you in two places at once. So they switched them back and forth, and they switched me to where I needed to be. So we're trying to work together here. We're trying to make it happen. We try to set realistic expectations for clients because, you know, my expectations may not be exactly what your expectations are when we first meet, and your expectations may not quite line up exactly what my expectations are when we first meet. But that's why we do an initial consultation, so we can figure out what your situation is. We can talk about what to expect one from another, and then we can carry that out. It works a whole lot better if we work together, and, you know, just estate planning in general. So thanks so much for listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ. Once again, my direct line is 720-394-6887. That's 720-394-6887. I will be back next week, but coming up next, we've got John Rush and Rush Reason. I'll talk to you later and have a great day. Thanks and bye.
Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey will return to ATX next Wednesday at 2:30 here on KLZ 560 The Source, AM 560, FM 100.7, and online at 560thesource.com.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.